Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Melanie Ford, Director of Youth Education Outreach at Penn State Barron.
Welcome to Barron Talks on Money Radio, WPSE AM 1450. My guest today is Melanie Ford. Melanie is Director of the Youth Education Outreach and Engineering K-12 Outreach Center here at Penn State Barron. Not only that, Melanie is an Assistant Teaching Professor of Computer Science and Software Engineering. Welcome here, Melanie.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I must say, this is why the interview is a little different. And in all full disclosure, I am interviewing my wife, Melanie Ford, today. But Melanie has a very important job here on campus and a leadership position. And we really felt it was important to interview you and have a discussion about all the great things that you do here on this campus. Let me start out this way. I like to ask people, you know, how did you get here? You're a professor of computer science and software engineering. So how did you end up in this role of youth education outreach?
I actually started at Barron many, many years ago as a part-time adjunct teaching computer science and software engineering. And probably about 16, 17 years ago, there was a huge need to try to encourage more women to go into engineering. And there was a group of us in engineering that really started that effort. So I got involved with Women in Engineering. Actually, I should say we started Women in Engineering. Got involved in another program called Math Options for middle school girls. And my passion for that kind of created the Engineering K-12 Outreach Center. And we were making an impact in the community, encouraging youth to consider engineering as a career and a path. That we decided that there was a need at Barron for youth education outreach. So that role, we kind of oversee all of the K-12 programming on campus. We encourage different schools and departments to engage, and then we facilitate a lot of that. So we work with school districts, we work with companies, things like that. So it all came out of a very big passion to get young women involved, but more than that, to get kids involved in finding out what their pathway is, what their career is, or what major in college will get them to where they want to go.
Well, that's a great way. I think, you know, your passion started there. It grew. It's had much larger impact. As you said, this has grown well beyond engineering. You call it the Youth Education Outreach Center. So help us understand that. You started to get into that. What exactly does that mean? What is it? How would you describe? What is it that your center does and the group of people you work with?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. it's a very diverse group, and we do quite a few things. I kind of break it down into this. We host programs that have been created and developed by Penn State Barron for the community. The two I mentioned already, Math Options and Women in Engineering.
But these are career exploration, right?
These are career exploration opportunities. And then we do 6-week summer camps. So College for Kids is another large program that we've done for 26 years. Once again, career exploration, but kids from ages 6 to 14. And then we do host programs on campus like PJAS, the first Lego League Championship, our Upper Bound STEM Institute in the summer. But probably our biggest effort or things that we do would be our customized educational experiences, where we bring groups of kids to campus or we go out into the schools. So everybody across campus does this, the School of Science, the School of Humanities, School of Business, Engineering. We bring groups into campus and we let them pick the topic of the activities that we want to do based on their curriculum. So for example, if it's a fifth grade class, then they might be studying simple machines or space or water conservation or things like that. So we'll do hands-on activities with them. And I should kind of back up a little bit and say all of our programs, what we're passionate about is that they have to be hands-on. They have to engage the kids. Mm-hmm. And we also try to engage the teachers because we want them to take what they've done here, put it back into their classroom, And we now actually try to engage the parents. Maybe we send a flyer home with the parents that say, you know, your kid got to do a machine or got to do a hands-on activity today with a simple machine. And here's some things you can do at home to encourage that.
So there's always, what I'm hearing is, it's career exploration, but it's through content. So you're trying to help them understand what they might be able to do in the future, connect what they're learning in school. But it's also the interesting piece, I mean, there's a lot there, is that you said teachers can take it back into the classroom. So what do you give them, an exercise or something that they can apply?
Yeah, so the teachers will take home, we make what we call a teacher kit. So we connect, you know, teachers nowadays, we can take a step back, right? Schools nowadays have certain common core standards that they must hit across the board. And so we're trying to give them content that helps them. We don't want to just be, you know, a day where they lose time in the classroom. So we give them basically the lesson plans that we did during the day that connects it to the standards for the school district for state level and federal level. And then we give them follow-up activities, and maybe it's a language art activity. Maybe it's another hands-on STEM activity. Maybe it is just a project that could then develop it. And to be honest, we have a lot of kids that will look at the materials that we're doing and they will turn to the teacher and say, can we do this again? Mm-hmm. So maybe they've designed, one of the activities we do is a gumball machine. We use everyday activities. So the teacher may say, that was your first revision of it. Now we're going to do it again in the classroom. What do you want to make better? What changes can you make? So they're learning about that process.
So do you have data on how well the teachers use this, or how much it is utilized? So do you have any idea of the teachers coming here? Are they really taking it? You've given examples, but I mean, everyone always wants to know, is there data?
Right.
You're laughing, but it's true. Everyone wants to measure the program, and with good reason. So is there good evidence that that's happening?
We're working on getting a more concrete way of tracking that. So we know teachers that have come back for 5 or 6 years, they can't say enough about the program. We talked to school administrators and superintendents, and they appreciate the content that we're doing. But we're trying to now track, you know, surveys, industry advisory board, or not industry, I should say, but educational advisory boards to get more of a...
But you do have data that shows, sorry to interrupt, but you do have data that you are seeing that the teachers value this and they take it back into the classroom.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
That's definitely. And then what we're trying to do is we try to up our game every time they come so that they don't get bored. It's not something they do 1 year and they don't come back. We're trying to make sure that we're giving them content that can be used and expanded upon and that we expand upon. We try to change what we offer each year as well, mm-hmm. based on their feedback. You know, there's a lot of times when we're sitting in a room doing simple machines and the teacher says, yeah, that activity over there, they're not getting it. They don't like it. How can we improve that? And of course, as educators, we love continuous improvement.
Right. Well, it's important. So here's a number, 24,000.
Yeah.
And you know what that number means. So in the last year, you and your staff and faculty and others here engaged more than 24,000 K-12 students and teachers. Can you tell us more about that? That just seems like a phenomenal number. It's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. And it's one of those things where when you start putting those numbers together, it kind of shocks you. Before we started the Youth Education Outreach Department, we really didn't know what everybody was doing on campus. So that's another reason for the department was to make sure that we were not duplicating effort, make sure we were giving value to the community. So what we did is we started asking everybody, just let us know how you're engaged in the community, what you're doing, how you're engaged in the community, and how many people. And so it came back with 24,000. So that's a huge number. And those are all of the things I mentioned before, the one-day programs, six-week programs, STEM fairs that we do, all of those type of things.
And that number has been growing. So you've been tracking. It's not just a recent number. It started at 15,000, I recall, and now it's grown to 24,000. So we're pretty confident in that. Well, that's impressive. This is about career exploration. Can you teach a six-year-old about career exploration? I know you work with kids from six to high school. How does that work? How do you think of how does that work?
Well, I guess we don't come out and say, hey, by the way, this is career exploration. The way that we kind of frame it to the kids throughout their ages is basically this. When they're younger, everybody says, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? That's the question we ask young kids. And the, you know, the standard answers come out, fireman, policeman, teacher, nurse, doctor. And what we see, though, is when kids get to from middle school into high school, in high school, all of a sudden the question changes to, oh, by the way, what are you doing after high school? Are you going to college? And if you're going to college, what is your major? And for kids, that they don't understand. They're still trying to answer that question of what do I want to be when I grow up? And so what we try to do is rather than say, by the way, Behrend has this fantastic major of, I'll use software engineering, so that's my department. Software engineering, you should be a software engineer. They don't know what that means, right? So what we do is we try to talk about, you know, what are your dreams? Like, what are the cool things you can do in the world? And what is that? And then, by the way, you know, if you went to college and you did this, 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 and this, you could get to that dream job. So I'll go back to software engineering. So kids like video games, right? We all know kids love video games nowadays. But they're not just programming the video games, right? We need English majors to write the stories for the characters. We need art majors to do the coloring because colors dictate a mood in a video game. We need mechanical engineers to design the hardware. We need the computer engineers, the electrical engineers. We need, you know, all of these people working towards this end goal of a video game. And so rather than just say you could be a mechanical engineer, we try to give them, show them all of these things that they can do. Meanwhile, we're doing career exploration, but that's not what we're telling them.
That approach makes so much more sense to me in that, you know, you worry, no one knows what they want to do, by the way. We're all very capable of doing many things, and it's just a matter of where you end up. So I think there is this idea of you should really look broadly and try a lot of things before mm-hmm. you decide. Is that what you're trying to do?
Exactly. And I've had, I mentioned the Women in Engineering program earlier, and I've had girls come in. It's a one-day program. They absolutely love it. And on the way out the door, I've had girls say to me, Mrs. Ford, I had a wonderful time. I'm really sorry. I don't want to be an engineer. That's okay. That means I did something successfully today because they've had an opportunity to explore that, figure out what it is, realize that that's not their niche. It's better for them to do it in high school than when they get to college. That's what we want to do, right? That's part of exploring is not only finding your passion, but figuring out what your passion's not. And any way we can do that, I think, is good.
Yeah, so we've talked about the teachers and the students, but the parents are an important part of this equation. How do you include them?
So, as I mentioned before, we do send a packet home with the teachers so that there's a parent sheet in there that can go home with the student at the end of the day that says, they participated in a program at Behrend. We did this activity, and if you'd like to encourage more at home, here are a couple of other activities that they can do. And we try to make the activities simple, things that they may have in their junk drawer, or recycled cardboard, or things like that, so that it's not, we're not telling the parents to go out and buy a couple hundred dollars worth. We want them to engage the kids and make it simple and easy. But then the other thing is we realized we needed to engage the parents. We need that buy-in so that they're a support system for the students. Mm-hmm. So in February every year, we have a very large STEAM fair. And STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Math. It's going to be, I can tell you now, it's actually going to be February 10th this year. It's a Monday evening. It's free. It's open to the public. It runs about 3 hours, 6:30 to 9:30. And we have about 40 companies and units across the campus, and it is all hands-on activities at this STEAM fair. And what we're trying to do is get the parents excited about what kids can do, get the kids excited about these companies that their parents may drive by every day. They don't know what they may be. You know, there's a company called Red Dog. Mm-hmm. What do they do? Well, they're one of the ones there. We have like the Erie Philharmonic. We have the different units on campus that do activities. So once again, in this environment, the kids are getting to explore careers, majors, companies, industries in a fun, engaging way. And by the way, sometimes we have to elbow the parents out of the way so that the kids can play. But they're engaged as well, and they need to see what the possibilities are for their children.
The important thing that I see at that, I mean, I'll give you a plug. That STEAM Fair is just growing year after year. And what's different about that from, I think, a lot of the other events I see is that parent engagement. Now, you talk about hands-on a lot, and you've said that several times. So why is hands-on important to the students? Why, you know, so every event or everything you do has to have a hands-on or, you know, interactive component?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to get into the theological conversation of engaged play and all of those type of things. But think about it. You're a kid who's 8 years old. You're getting out of school for the day. You're getting on a bus. You're coming to a college campus. And the last thing that they want to happen is someone just to speak at them. And so the best way to get them engaged and to show them the possibility is that hands-on interactive component. Over the years, what I can tell you is that's probably had the most impact on me. I know it sounds kind of weird, but I've had children where the teachers have both pretty much been in tears because there's a child in the back of the room that is designing, I'll go back to my gumball machine that my example there, designing a gumball machine that's working, right? It's made out of cardboard and tape and paper, toilet paper tubes or whatever. And they'll tell me that child does not engage in the classroom, is not at the reading level of their grade. They have learning support, all of these other things, but that coming to campus for a day and in my environment, that hands-on activity, they are the rock star of the room that day. And so that hands-on engagement is getting kids that creativity and pulling things out of a kid that they don't normally get to do in a regular 8-to-3 classroom.
So. Yeah, and I've seen those examples where, you know, they design, you know, I forget that one experiment you do, but you're trying to pick something up using a coat hanger and
The robot arm.
The robot arm, and what you watch adults who know something about design can't design it, and then these kids come in and they're free of any constraints in their mind and they come up with a design that works, and it just brings some emotion when you see that happen and you realize what they've learned and what they've done, and frankly, that they're beating the adults at this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask another thing. You bring them to a college campus. You bring them to Barron all the time. Why is that important?
We have a program going on right now this summer called Upward Bound STEM Institute. And we work with the Erie School District, Cory, and Union City. And the whole point of bringing them to a college campus is to get them comfortable, to get rid of that illusion that a college campus is unattainable, that it's this pie in the sky type thing, to show them that we have classrooms and the facility, to basically kind of give them that, what's the next step, right? They're used to an elementary school classroom, a middle school, a high school. We want to show them what's different, right? And we want to show them that it's not scary, but what's different, and that all of the possibilities that could be here.
And this campus, I will say, it's inspiring. I see people just up here walking around just for inspiration to clear their mind. It's a beautiful place. There's so much going on. Well, yeah. As we said, this effort is significant. You have staff. This is a real professional operation, and I mean that. It is well run. And how do we do that? We can't do it without the help of our corporate friends. Is that correct?
That's true. That's very true. It used to be companies would come in and hire students. But companies now realize the importance of helping us to get kids excited about careers to go into those majors that then they can then hire. And so the majority of our programs, we have industry partnerships. So we can't do this without people like National Fuel Gas, WebTech, Erie Insurance, Lord Corporation, and there are a ton of other ones. I'm not going to be able to list them all. But they come in, they help us do the hands-on activities because, as I mentioned before, you know, your parents drive by a company all the time, but what do? So now they get to meet the people that work there. They get to see what kind of things they do. And then they ask the kids ask the next question, well, what do I need to do to work there someday? And that's what we're trying to do. So they really support a lot of what we do.
What always impresses me is that whenever we have a discussion with a company, yeah, there might be financial support. That is important. But their employees are always really, they like this. Their employees want to get involved.
Right. Their employees are very passionate about giving back. And as you mentioned, you know, the monetary support helps the wheels keep going forward, of course. But we need their passion in the hands-on activities. What I'm finding now is that we have I'll say Amanda. Amanda came here years ago as part of a women in engineering program from her high school, McDowell, and she met some women engineers in a local company. And she decided to go into engineering. So she actually ended up coming to Barron. She was actually one of my students. And while she was here, she got an internship with those women engineers that she had met at the Women in Engineering program. Did an internship there. And she now works there. So she now comes back and does the activities and encourages that next generation to do what she's doing.
It's full circle. You know, the other thing that I remember from one of the events is that the different companies, the engineers there, they come up with the activity. So they design the activity. So that helps you a lot. But they're competitive. They were trying to come up with who they get voted on at the end of the day. And I think the Lord Ladies won, if I recall. Is that correct?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay. That's okay.
I'll plead the fifth.
But they design the experiments for you, right?
Yes. So the life cycle, typically what happens is a company will see what we're doing in the K-12 realm and want to get engaged. So they'll come to us, but they'll literally will say, we don't know what to do. So we may help them design the first activity, the curriculum, the activity, the equipment, whatever it is. And then what happens is they see what they're doing, they see what other companies are doing, and that's when that starts taking off. And now they're coming back with other activities. But we do partner with companies as well. We're partnering with National Fuel Gas on developing some activities with them. So both models happen, but it does get to be a little bit of fun. Well, and sometimes it's the companies more than the students.
Well, it's great to see. I mean, you're building a community. One of your really, I think, well-run and growing programs is something known as WABTEC Girls. So what is WABTEC Girls?
So that is a 1 week long program for middle school girls. And it started out, as you know, WABTEC used to be GE Transportation. Now it's GE Transportation, a WABTEC company. And it was a 1 week program that we started out with just the Erie School District. And since then we've doubled the size. We now just did our seventh year. We've doubled the size. It's 50 girls. And it's a week-long hands-on activities. I think there's about 20 activities, but it's all done by women engineers at WABTEC. And we work with county schools, homeschools, all over the place.
We certainly talked a lot about getting young women involved in careers, STEM careers. All of our programs, they are open to everybody, from men, you know, you've got programming across the board, but why the focus, why is it so important to get young women involved in that track early on?
Well, and I'm sure you're going to hear people say it all the time, right? We need more women in the STEM fields. I should say STEM is science, technology, engineering, math, right? We need more women in there. But if you kind of back up, the research shows that second grade is when a child decides they like math and science, which, think about it, that's really young to make that decision. And if you decide you don't like math and science, that does kind of limit what you want to do someday. So second grade is an important part. But when they get to middle school, what we see, the research shows, is that young women will decide that they will opt out of the harder math and science courses and not take them in high school. Well, once again, they're kind of self-limiting options for them down the road. So what we try to encourage those girls to do is to take the math and sciences, and I would tell boys or girls, always challenge yourself across the board. I'll be honest, I was that person that liked math and science and didn't like social studies and English, but I still took those courses to challenge myself. Because eventually, you need to be a well-rounded individual. But if you self-select a little bit earlier, you're going to limit the careers and options available to you down the road.
It is all about making sure you've got a lot of opportunities, and the reality is math and science open opportunities across the board, whether you're in STEM, you go into law, health, whatever it may be. Well, that leads to an interesting question. How about yourself? Did you ever have it, you know, did people encourage you when you were in school to go into become a computer scientist? I mean, that's what you chose to do.
Yeah. My background is computer science and mathematics. And I mentioned software engineering earlier. That wasn't really an option, but not that I'm that old. I liked math and science. To me, they were always a puzzle. They were fun. I did well in those courses. And it was actually, I had an older stepsister who was in college at the time. And I was from a small town, and no one really knew what computers were, or what it was. And so she suggested it. And so I said, sure. And then I took my first computer course in high school. We had a very simple one, and it was fantastic. It was cool. It like opened up these doors. And I just decided I was going to do that. And I didn't really listen to anybody that told me I couldn't do it, I guess. I just was going to do that.
And that's the way and that's the way it should be. And you hit one important point. Coding in school is so important.
Oh, it
and
is.
School's got away from that, but I think we're coming back as a nation. All right. The Mythbusters. So this job has led you into some maybe unexpected areas. You got to meet the Mythbusters. When I say the Mythbusters, I'm talking about Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman.
The original Mythbusters.
The original Mythbusters. And you spent a fair amount of time with them. How did that happen?
They were part of our speaker series here at Behrend. And part of their agreement to come speak is they needed someone on stage to facilitate the questions. And so I had actually created a Mythbuster class that we actually still teach today in College for Kids. I was the original creator of that. Of course, I was a fan of the show. I mean, who doesn't like to see things blown up and designed and developed? And so I got to do that, and they were awesome. And they were like you meet on TV. They, you know, way too much energy and speaking a mile a minute and create ideas. But they were excited about the things that we were starting back then here. So I think that if they could see what we were doing now, they would really be impressed.
I recall that day. They were impressed. And it was just a great day here on campus. Well, we're coming to the end of our time. So I give you the opportunity. Is there anything we've missed? Anything you'd like to add today?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I think we've talked about a lot of the efforts that we've done. We're still trying to go to the next level to do some things. I can't tell you right now what we're doing. I've got some cards up my sleeve.
Sorry, hold them close.
I will. But I will say that I hope that people listening to this understand the importance that we have found here at Behrend of engaging our students with the industry, with the teachers, with the parents and the children. To get them to figure out what that passion is. And there's a whole group here that are really excited about it. I can't tell you, we really, really love what we do. So I hope that came across.
I really did. And if somebody wants to, that's a great way to end this. If somebody that wants to reach out, you're on the web, easy to find.
We're on the web. The address is behrend.psu.edu/youthoutreach, or you can email us directly at youthoutreach@psu.edu.
Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
My guest today has been Melanie Ford, Director of Youth Outreach Programs here on Behrend Talks on Money Radio WPSE.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again on Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. for an encore presentation of the Business Spotlight with Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Behrend.